Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop for this Tuesday, July 9th. I'm Ray Graff. Are you a comic book fan? Or do you prefer the accomplishments of those like Wayne Gretzky, Joe DiMaggio, Mickey Mantle, Peter Alonso? If you fall into either of these categories, you'll want to turn up the radio. Give us a call, because today we discuss, once again, comics and sports cards. And joining us again in the studio, Bill Townsend of Electric City Comics and Al Itzkoff of Al's House of Sports Cards, both in Schenectady, New York. If you have a question about comics or sports cards or both, our number, 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551, or you can email us at voxpop@wamc.org. Again, the number is 800-348-2551. Comics and sports cards coming up on Vox Pop right after the news. Hello once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. One of the things I love about Vox Pop, it's very eclectic. Yesterday we had a gastroenterologist on. Today we talk comics and cards. We'll be discussing comics and sports cards today with Bill Townsend of Electric City Comics and Al Itzkoff of Al's House of Sports Cards, both in Schenectady, New York. Bill is the owner of Electric City Comics, founded in 1982. It's now one of the oldest comic shops in upstate New York. Bill was an advisor to the Overstreet comic book price guide update and has some experience on the other side of the publishing chain as a comic book writer. Al is the sole proprietor of Al's House of Sports Cards, which he opened about 15 years ago. He's been an avid collector all his life. His shop carries complete card sets and sports memorabilia. The number to call if you have a question, 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. Or you can email us at voxpop@wamc.org. That number, though, is 800-348-2551. Al Itzkoff, Bill Townsend, welcome back to the show.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I saw on Al's Facebook for House of Cards that it's the third time you guys have been on? Third time already?
Yes, third time.
Yeah.
Wow, we got to up our game here.
Yeah, last time it was April 9th we were on.
Yeah, you're right.
Now, what, do you write that down?
I just happen to remember.
That's funny. I barely remember last week's show, but I'm glad you guys are on again.
Bill's got a great memory, I guess.
That's pretty good.
I have to.
You know, on sports first, last night, I don't know if you saw this, Al, but the Home Run Derby was majestic. It was something to see.
Yes.
And, you know, I'm a Mets fan, a long-suffering Mets fan. And Pete Alonso, he won.
What a bright spot for the New York Mets. This young man's got a great future ahead of him.
Well, that bumped the cost of his rookie card.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure the autograph rookie cards are now going for several hundred dollars.
Really? Already?
Yeah, already.
Now, it's funny. You know, if let's say I go into your store and I plunk down $300 and I get a signed card, if his career fizzles, that investment's a very poor investment.
Yes.
This might be the highest it goes.
Yes. Unfortunately, that's what happens when the rookie cards are super hot. They become really valuable at an unbelievable rapid pace. And then if the career goes a little bit soft, a little bad, his stuff goes, you know.
Or something bad happens.
Yeah, something bad happens.
I have a Roger Clemens rookie card.
Yeah.
Guess what?
Yeah.
It's not quite so
one
much.
One of the hottest cards at one time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Our number here, if you have a sports card or comic question, 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. Bill Townsend, what's new over at Electric City?
Okay, well, I mean, before we went on the air, Al and I were talking about The Walking Dead.
Yeah.
The Walking Dead, one of our best-selling comic books. The most recent issue came in last Wednesday. We opened the box, got a little surprise.
What happened?
Well, they did us a favor in that it was a special double-size issue, but the same cover price. But it was the final issue. It was the last issue of the Walking Dead comic, issue 193.
What's wrong with that?
Well, everybody was looking for it, and we sold out in the first 15 minutes. The trouble is that we did not know it was going to be the last issue.
Ah.
The publisher lied to us. They faked us out. And as a matter of fact, they solicited issues 194 and 195, even showing us cover art.
Well, that's fraud, right?
Yeah, it's fraud. And the thing is the way they get punished is they're forced to accept returns. You can send back unsold comics, copies.
But there are none.
We're not going to have any unsold. They could have doubled our order, and we still wouldn't have had.
And had you known that 193 was the last issue, would you have maybe put half of the stash behind the counter and said, oh, no, we're all out, and wait until the price goes up?
No, we do not do that.
No?
We do not do that.
Well, that's business, though. That's capitalism, right? What's wrong with that?
I feel that it's my job to provide comics to people. And because I remember when I was a kid, when important books hit 100 issues.
Yeah.
Like Fantastic Four 100.
Sure.
It just wasn't available on the stand. All of the sharp customers came on Tuesday when they got their new books, and there were none left for kids like me who had to wait for our parents to drive us.
Mm.
We don't do that as a rule. Once it enters the aftermarket and people sell us collections, then anything goes.
Right.
But we do not hold back new comics.
You're a very, very, very honest and trustworthy man. This email came in from Paul in Saratoga. How can I get the best price for comics and looking to sell? Shops or online?
Well, there's kind of a sliding scale. The more work you do, the more money you can get out of them. But the question is like, how much work are you willing to do?
Yeah.
If you want to sell them on eBay and deal with
people who are irritated with the condition.
That's a full-time job, basically.
Yeah, it is
when you start doing eBay.
It is a full-time job. If you want someone else to sell them, you take them to a local store.
Yes.
Now, if you have a lot of high-end, expensive books,
yeah,
you might want to, say, take a copy of the Overstreet Price Guide out of the library and see the big advertisers there.
Yeah.
There, it's like somebody was sending me postcards saying, are there collections you can't afford to buy? Call 1-800 such and such, and we'll send a broker around to look at them, to buy them.
How do you know that that's a trustworthy person who may not come with a, you know, some sort of a weapon and take them all?
If someone's advertising in the Overstreet Price Guide,
yeah,
they are an established dealer. They've been in the business for years. They're people that will vouch for them.
Okay.
They're probably one of the biggest dealers.
So if you get knocked over the head and your collection gets stolen, then you can sue Overstreet?
I would think not.
No?
I would think not.
Okay.
But most people aren't going to have books like that. You're not going to have a bunch of books from the 30s. Taking them to your local comic store is probably your best bet.
Okay. Well, our number here is 800-348-2551. If you have a question about comics or cards today, Al Itzkoff of Al's House of Sports Cards and Bill Townsend of Electric City Comics are here. Let's go to Chuck in Hudson. Chuck.
How you doing?
Good.
Hello there. I would like to know if a friend of mine collected Mad magazines for, he's in his 60s, and I think he's got every one of them. And he told me the other day that they're closing down.
Yeah.
Is that true? Mad magazine?
That is true. The next issue coming out is going to be the final one, although I think they're going to still keep publishing, but it's going to be all reprints.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Mad
magazine's owned by DC Comics
now. What would the first one be worth, do you know?
Well, the first Mad magazine actually wasn't a magazine. It initially started as a comic book. It was published by EC Comics. The first Mad, I mean, I've got a guide at my elbow, but I think looking it up would be kind of cheating. A nice one is going to be worth like $10,000, $20,000.
Well, that's pretty good.
I would guess.
$10,000, $20,000?
But yeah, it's got to be a nice one.
It's got to be beautiful.
But you're going back to the early 50s.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And he's in his late 60s now.
Oh. Well, you better get in the will.
That was his favorite magazine.
You better be nice to him.
Yeah, be nice to him, Chuck.
The thing is, though, that Mad magazines don't actually command a lot of money because they're very topical.
Right.
I mean, I have a bunch of Mad magazines from the 60s that I picked up in a collection, and it's like, how many people get jokes about President Lyndon Johnson?
But do you have to?
Sometimes you don't. Sometimes you can. I'm surprised at these older Mad magazines, how literate they are. Especially the ones from the 50s. There were these long articles and everything. They were a lot less cartoony. And there were all these in-jokes about literary figures and whatnot that these days people would look at and go, who's that? I mean—
But do you have to get the jokes to get the value? In other words, if you're a collector, do you really care what the jokes are?
That's true, but there's a certain point at which— There's certain collectibles that you can go back pretty far, and they're still essentially worth current cover price.
Yeah.
For instance, not to diss them, but Archie magazines.
Oh, yeah. We were talking about those in the newsroom today.
Once you've seen one, you've pretty much seen them all. Yeah. So whether it's from 1962 or 2002,
yeah,
it's pretty much going to be worth the same thing, more or less. There are some exceptions, but generally, Mad magazines don't really hold up their value that well.
All right.
Also, as someone pointed out, they're very hard to find in mint condition because of the little folded thing on the back cover.
Yeah.
People are always doing that.
Records that they had in the back, you know, occasionally they would have, you got to keep them intact.
Absolutely.
Tell me about, brief, and we have to take a break here in a minute, EC Comics. Now, they had the Spirit, right?
No, EC Comics was a whole different thing. The Spirit was published by Will Eisner.
Oh, that's right. And he wasn't involved with EC at all?
I don't believe he was. EC Comics, I could talk for hours about them. They were the center of the House Un-American Activities Committee back in the 50s. Mm. And essentially, the Comics Code Authority was essentially made to drive them out of business.
And it worked.
It worked. And in fact, Mad Magazine became a magazine because they stopped publishing it as a comic because they couldn't get news dealers to distribute their comics anymore, but they could get them to distribute a magazine.
Ah, subversive. I like it. Our number here is 800-348-2551. We have sports cards. We have comics on the menu today. And once again, 800-348-2551. Vox Pop. We'll be right back. Vox Pop on WAMC. Ray Graff with you, 800-348-2551, the number. 21 minutes after 2 o'clock, beautiful Tuesday afternoon. We talk sports cards and comics today with Bill Townsend of Electric City Comics and Al Itzkoff of Al's House of Sports Cards. And getting back to Mad very quickly here. Now that they're going away, will we see a price spike, you think?
I don't really think so. I mean, Mad's been around so long. I mean, if it's like, you know, you should appreciate while it's here, not when it's gone. I mean, and I was telling you and Al during the break that I was at San Diego Comic-Con in 2013 and Mad Magazine was there and they were advertising themselves as the number one humor magazine in America in a field of one.
Right. Well,
they were the only humor magazine left.
And quickly, you know, we talk about all these print publications going away. What is the deal with the electronic comics? Now, back there was a time when you could subscribe Marvel, you could subscribe, let's say, and you'd get them in electronic form. That's how can you collect that? It's electrons.
Well, that's kind of a phenomenon of modern life. I mean, it's getting to the point where there's certain things that you can't collect. For instance, music, the albums and the singles that you and I used to get back in the day, they don't exist anymore.
Oh, yes, they do.
Oh, the records well, are
yes,
really
they do. That's another show.
There's vinyl, but most people are getting their songs from streaming services now. There's not even any files in their computer that they own. It's all being streamed. The comic book publishers have wanted to move online for a long time. The thing is, they're too cheap to do it right.
You can't do it right. You need to hold it in your hand.
I like to look at a comic book and look through pages and look at the art. I mean, how do you get that same feeling electronically? It's kind of hard.
But I think they do the same thing with baseball cards, too, don't they?
Oh, yeah. E-tops, sure.
E-tops. How am I going to say I have
an E-top? You got to order them right away. They make them for that week, and then you got to order them online.
Do you get an actual card?
Yeah, you do.
Oh, you do. Okay.
Yeah, they give you an actual card. So it's a set.
Why do they call it E-tops, then?
Because, I don't know. They just to publish it and that's it.
Okay. Our number here is 800-348-2551. Al Itzkoff talks sports cards from Al's House of Sports Cards. Bill Townsend of Electric City Comics is here. And back to the phones we go. Let's go to Jack in Saugerties.
Hi, I have two questions. One's about cards and one's about comics.
Okay.
Conan comics from the 70s by Barry Smith. What kind of value is on those these days?
Okay, those are classics. Recently, Conan the Barbarian came back to Marvel, and Marvel is publishing him again. And you're not going to believe this, Conan is actually a member of the Avengers now.
Oh, really?
Yes, wow. He is.
Oh, spoiler alert.
Him and Wolverine, like, duked it out for an entire issue.
Oh, tremendous.
Those classic Barry Smith issues from, he did the first 24 issues back in the 70s, those are definitely worth money.
Yeah.
I believe a really nice copy of Conan number one is going for close to $1,000.
Oh, boy. How about that?
So, and of course, they go down from there. I think a really nice copy of number 24, which is the first Red Sonja, is like $250, $300.
Okay.
How about number three?
How about number three?
Number three, I would guess would be in like the $700 range.
Hey.
Wow. Once again, we're talking a really nice one.
Okay. How nice is really nice? Never looked at?
9.8
It means 9.8. It means it looks like it was bought off the stands yesterday.
Okay. Yeah. And you had another question, Jack.
So what would
go ahead.
Yes, the other one other question with Conan. How about Call the Conqueror?
Call the Conqueror was also written by Robert Howard, the man that created Conan, and it was also a comic book as well. Not as popular. The idea that Marvel essentially stole Cull's shtick by making Conan the king, Conan later in his life when he became king of a kingdom, they have some value, but Conan is the emperor of the sword and sorcery
genre.
All
right, so we got a king, we got an emperor. Hey, what's your second question, Jack?
Well, the other question is about trading cards. I have two boxes of Star Wars trading cards. They were never opened from the first series of those cards. Do they have any value?
Yeah, 1977.
I guess so. I'm not looking at them, but they were the first.
They used to be really cheap, but I think now they're like up to $500 to $1,000 if they're sealed
for
an open box.
Wow, well, there you go.
Yeah, I believe.
All right,
that
Jack.
Much, huh?
Yeah, be careful now.
Okay.
They're not baseball cards. They're called non-sports.
Don't spill your Yoo-Hoo on them, Jack. All right. Our number here is 800-348-2551. That's weird. Non-sports cards can be worth money.
Yes.
So my Bobby Vinton cards maybe are going to be worth something someday?
Maybe.
All right, let's go back to the phones. Jay in Albany. Jay, you're on.
Hi, how are you today?
We're okay. How are you?
Good. When I first heard you were having sports cars and comics, I always thought of Jerry Seinfeld and a Corvette. Then I realized it was something else.
Oh, yeah, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, back in the 90s, General Mills was sponsoring Petty Racing. And as a bonus, they were including miniature race cars in there from the boxes of cereal. We all know Cheerios taste better with a little when it comes with a little race car.
Oh yeah.
Now I've got a small collection of number 43 miniature Hot Wheel cars from the cereal boxes. And I was wondering if they would be any value, because they wouldn't have been sold like, you know, as regular Hot Wheels.
Right. Well,
they
what do you think, Al?
I think it's cereal premium. I don't think they have that much value.
Some of those baseball cards.
The baseball cards,
too. The cornflakes,
yeah.
Yeah, with the 3D.
Or the Wheaties from the 60s. Yeah, those are nice.
Those, too.
All right. So the cars aren't necessarily worth a lot, but if you like them. I mean, do they still have the cornflakes in them, Jay?
No. They're all covered in cellophane.
Okay.
Yeah.
The Cheerios were eaten long ago.
The Cheerios,
ago.
Okay.
Some people actually even saved the whole box and they've even opened it, which is like unbelievable.
I know.
It's crazy talk. All right, Jay, thanks for the call.
Basically.
Good luck. We appreciate it. 800-348-2551 is the number. Al Itzkoff is here. His third time and perhaps last. Bill Townsend of Electric City Comics. No, are you guys having fun?
Oh, yeah.
All right, that's good. All right, that's all that counts, right? Listener Schmishners, right? This is from Greg. Hey, guys, what am I supposed to do with all these worthless baseball cards from the late 80s, even through the 90s? I've read they are worthless from this time period. Should I use them as kindling? We can't recommend that, Greg, but we can tell you about the value.
Yeah, you can use them as kindling if
you
want.
That's
camp.
Not the answer we were looking for.
No. I mean, it depends what kind of 80s cards you have. I mean, you still have potential. Eventually, Barry Bonds will make it to the Hall of Fame. You know, Clemens, too. They'll open the doors eventually.
But will that really matter at that point?
Probably not.
It's tainted goods now, right?
It is tainted goods. But it is.
Not everybody was on the juice then, right?
Yeah, there's a few guys that were not on the juice, like Barry Larkin. I think he's rookie card.
I have so many Barry Larkin cards from about 1986. They're not worth anything.
Yeah, they're not.
No.
They're not.
Is there anything of value from those days? Heady mid-80s that were...
Not too much. I mean, early 80s, at least you got Tony Gwynn and you got Ryan Sandberg and Wade Boggs. They have a little value.
Right, and Cal Ripken
Jr.
Yeah.
And the early 80s, you got Henderson rookie, which has some value.
Right.
Yeah, probably one of the best rookie cards of 1980.
Did things really start going south for the card market when 17 different card manufacturers jumped in the fray?
Yeah, of course it did. I mean, I think it all started with the Upper Deck. They came in and they were the first ones to make the packs.
They had some beautiful cards, though.
They did. And then soon Stadium Club followed right after in 1991 with their beautiful Kodak photography, which is breathtaking. I mean, the Stadium Club is still going strong today. 2019 just came out just a few weeks ago. Beautiful product.
How are they looking now? I haven't really seen... I've seen one or two packs from this year, but I don't think it was any of the real big hobby packs. It was kind of retail.
They look really nice. Yeah. I mean, the photography is... The Stadium Club is on top of their game with that. They are nice.
The number here is 800-348-2551. We talk comics and cards today. Bill Townsend of Electric City Comics, Al Itzkoff of Al's House of Sports Cards. Let's go to Tom in Gardner, Mass. Tom, you're on.
Yes, how much would the Honus Wagner baseball card be worth today if anybody could find one?
Oh,
the tobacco card?
Obscene amount of money. It's so rare. It's so rare. They go for, you know.
Very rare.
Do you have one, Tom? Rare.
No. If I did, I...
Okay.
No. But I heard it would be worth, a couple million at least.
In nice shape, yeah.
How many are there known?
Probably less than 20.
Yeah. That's because I'm told Honus Wagner was against tobacco and said, hey, stop that?
He stopped that, yeah, supposedly. But I think he liked to smoke anyways.
Isn't that crazy? I mean,
but he didn't want the kids to smoke. That's why. He just said, you know what? I don't want to set an example and, you know, have kids watch me, you know, smoke products, tobacco products.
I'm all for capitalism, but the fact that they would put baseball cards for kids in tobacco products. That's quite something to consider.
But they were a premium to sell more tobacco.
Yeah, I got you. Well, no, I understand.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks a lot. But, I mean, the theory is then you're selling the tobacco to kids.
Yeah.
That's not really the best marketing strategy, right?
No, it's not.
All right, so we're on the same page there. Al Itzkoff of Al's House of Sports Cards, Bill Townsend of Electric City Comics, and now let's go over to Al and a different Al. Al in Pittsfield, you're on.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
When I was a kid back in 73, on the back of the comics, they offered these Marvel collector coins, and they only offered three of them. It was Spider-Man, the Hulk, and I can't remember the third one, maybe Thor or someone. But I purchased those three coins, and the minute I got them, I put them in half-dollar plastic cases. And I've been sitting on those since I was a kid, and I can't find any trace of anyone or anywhere ever selling those or what they're worth. Have you heard of those? Have seen them?
I've read a lot of comics from the 70s, and this is the first I've heard of them. As you were talking about it, Al was nodding, so it looks like he's heard of them.
Yes, I've heard of them.
Well, what do you know?
But I mean, basically what I know is that Marvel had their own little club in the 60s, the Mary Marvel Marching Society.
Right.
And they were selling all kinds of merchandise, T-shirts, posters, and whatnot. It was kind of a Marvel fan club.
Okay.
And the idea that they were making comics hip for college age people, not just middle schoolers.
Yeah.
And they did coins, they did posters, they did T-shirts.
But you've never seen one of these?
I've never seen one of the coins, although you know what? I have kind of an image in my mind of what they look like. I've never seen anyone selling them. So, I mean, and I've seen all sorts of things. I've seen people selling the animation cells from the 1960s Marvel cartoons.
Oh, I love those cartoons.
And those cartoons were basically bottom-of-the-barrel animation.
I mean,
basically, it was just a panel from the comic book, and when an explosion happened, they would just, like, shake it.
Yeah.
So
well,
I think
like
those
that.
Coins were made out of bronze, right?
Were they really?
I imagine they were.
I think they were.
Al, do they look bronze to you?
Yeah, they look bronze. Where are you guys located? Because I could take a trip out there and show them to you.
You're in Schenectady, right?
I'm in Schenectady, 1704 Van Vranken Avenue,
I mean, there are local people in, you know.
I'm sure there's got to be somebody.
It's not an infomercial for Electric City Comics. You can certainly go there, Al, but there are places closer to you, just full disclosure, although Bill is a lovely human being.
Yes, yes, yes. Also,
yeah, I'm not interested in selling them, but, you know, they're laying around and
a coin store.
What they were worth,
a coin store?
A coin store might have a better idea. There's all kinds of premium coins that they sell. That have collectible value.
Huh.
I mean, basically, before U.S. coinage got set up, basically everybody and their cousin was making their own coins.
Right. So I'll go to the casino with my Spider-Man bronze coin.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's like I remember seeing this one coin that says, mind your business.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I would try a local comic store to you, or also, I mean, a coin dealer.
Looked on eBay, Al?
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, look on eBay. Just punch in bronze coins.
I did some, you know, with the internet, you think that you could type in Marvel collector coins and you'd find something, but never.
Sometimes it depends on how you put it.
Yes.
I mean, for instance, I mean, are there any, like, logos or, like, does it say MMMS on it? Mary Marvel Marching Society?
No, it's like the Spider-Man one has, you know, you know, it says Spider-Man on the back, and, you know, it's just like a two-faced coin with two things, and it has, you know, a motto on the back. And
well, that motto might be your key.
You know.
Yeah. Look up the motto. You might be able to find something that way.
Well, that's very interesting. All right. It's not often you stump a panel of collectors who have been in this a long time. The number is 800-348-2551. I see Al looking on his phone. Are you looking that up now?
I'm trying to, but my phone's not working.
Yes. Anyway. Well, that's the very fabled WAMC Wi-Fi. Good luck. Over to Christian and Hurley. Christian, you're on.
Yes. How are you? I am calling because I have a question about a year and a half or so ago, I used to see advertisements on eBay or Craigslist or iOffer for back issues of digital comic books. And I think they were clearly pirated. But then all of a sudden, the whole, like, everything just disappeared. On Reddit, there used to be, like, whole threads about them. And I'm wondering, was there a crackdown or something like that that just put a stop to all that?
I'm not really au courant with the online comic market. I know, for instance, that DC Online is trying to sell back issues. It's like you can read runs of old DC comic books on DC Comics Online, but what they offer is kind of spotty. So I've talked to a lot of people. They say, oh, I wanted to read that, but they don't carry that. I have not heard anything about online comics being pirated, and I imagine that, considering that both DC and Marvel are owned by big corporations that are very jealous about that copyrights, that anybody that did something like that, they would stomp on with both feet. So,
right, and I think that's what happened. But, I mean, you were able to see advertisements for I could literally, if I had wanted to, buy every single issue of DC Comics or Marvel Comics, you know, ever published for Superman, Batman, X-Men, Avengers, everything was for sale out there. And then without warning, it all just disappeared. And I was wondering if there was some kind of industry crackdown, entire, you know, websites that were devoted to it just disappeared.
There was nothing I heard about that, but you have to understand that this is not something that the publishers would want to publicize. That the idea that there were people making money off pirated comics, they don't want to publicize that. So squashing it and then sweeping it under the rug sounds very much on brand for them.
Again, these are not really comic books. These are, you're looking at a screen. You can,
exactly.
I can't wrap my head around this.
Like pirating movies or TV shows.
Okay, right. And I'm not suggesting anybody do that. But a pirated movie, if the quality is good, you're still watching it on a TV.
Yeah.
A comic book, I'm not holding it in my... If I'm looking at a Silver Age Batman on a screen, what difference does it make? You know?
The comic book publishers are still trying to make that model work, and the idea that somebody is stealing their thunder and selling their books at a cut rate would probably infuriate them. Tops of their heads would pop off.
Remember, they're not books. This is my point.
Yes,
not books. They're electrons, and it's a lighted screen. I'll explain this during the break. 800-348-2551. Comics and cards today. Always great to have Bill and Al here, and we'll have more of your calls and emails coming up. Welcome back to Vox Pop on WAMC. 800-348-2551 is the number. Al Itzkoff is here from Al's House of Sports Cards in Schenectady, and also Bill Townsend of Electric City Comics in Schenectady. We are here to answer your sports cards and comics questions. This email came in, and then we'll jump back on the phones. This one is from Jeff in New Paltz. Jeff says, I have a few copies of Dark Shadows, Twilight Zone, even a couple Boris Karloff comics. What would they be worth?
Okay. Now, the thing is that Twilight Zone and what was the other one?
Dark Shadows and a couple of Boris Karloff.
There have been a couple iterations of that.
When they were on
Twilight Zone and Dark Shadows comics were published in the 90s. But bringing in Boris Karloff tells me that you've got a bunch of things from the late 60s and early 70s.
They were on Gold Key? What were they on?
Gold Key or Dell.
Yeah.
Gold Key or Dell. They have some value. They're not things that people are really looking to collect. For instance, I believe that Frank Miller, the guy that remade Daredevil and Batman, his first published work was, I think, in a copy of Boris Karloff.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So, or the Twilight Zone. So they definitely have some value. They pretty much go for what comics from the early 60s and 70s go. A nice one. You can maybe get $10, $15 for a kind of beat up one, maybe a dollar or two.
Right.
There are no really big expensive standouts, though.
Our number here is 800-348-2551 if you have a sports card or comic book question. And back to the phones we go. Jimmy in Rhinebeck. Jimmy.
Hey, guys. My dad had two old baseball cards, and one was a Rico Petrocelli, and they were black and white. And it had, like, serrated edges that were rounded. And the other one was Kari Yastrzemski, and they're black and white. And the outline's white. The serrated outline that's rounded is white.
Okay. Is the back of the card white?
Oh, man, I don't know.
They might be something called Deckle Edge.
Deckle Edge?
Yeah, Topps Deckle Edge.
I think he had them when he was a kid, though.
Yeah, from the 60s. Petrocelli played in the 1960s.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they're probably like 1969 Topps Deckle Edge.
That was a series of Topps?
Yeah, Topps Deckle
Edge. I've not heard of this.
Yeah, they were premium, so they were like Deckle cards.
Oh, very interesting. Yeah.
What do you think the serrated one's worth?
They're worth a few bucks. Everybody in that set, they want the Mantle card, the Clemente.
Yeah.
I believe. Yeah.
All right. Well, hey, Jimmy, good luck with those. You might want to hang on to them and see what the future brings. The number is 800-348-2551. Kristen in Poughkeepsie. Hello, Kristen.
Hi, how are you? I actually have a question about sports memorabilia. I didn't realize I was trading cards. I apologize.
Oh, that's fine.
No, it's okay.
Okay, so I came in possession of a signed Bobby Orr puck. I had a family member that cleaned out a celebrity's house, like after they had moved and all the garbage was left behind, and they go in and clean it. And there was a bunch of hockey equipment left over, and my kids play hockey, so she had given to us. So we wound up going through the pucks, and one was actually signed, and when we looked into it, we realized it was Bobby Orr. And
cool.
Within all that sports memorabilia was also a photo of the celebrity at an all-star game with Bobby Orr. And I was just curious if it was worth anything. I mean, my son was absolutely thrilled with it, and that was worth its weight in gold.
Yeah.
Yeah, Bobby Orr puck is pretty nice. You're probably going to have to get it authenticated if you ever want to sell it.
How are you going to do that, though?
You have to go and send it out to PSA DNA or JSA. It's a service.
How do you go about authenticating something that was found in a celebrity's house, not Bobby Orr's house, presumably?
Well, you still need paperwork.
No, it wasn't.
Whose house was it, Kristen?
I'd rather not say.
Oh, come on. All right.
Fair enough. But I have the photo of the celebrity with Bobby Orr and the puck is from that event, that All-Star game.
I'm sure it's probably like
enough to have it authenticated.
Yeah.
Is the picture signed?
No, just the puck.
So this picture, is it an 8x10?
I think 5x7.
Oh, and who's in it?
It's in a little frame. Hi, Bobby Orr.
And who else is in that?
It's a liberty.
Darn it. Okay, Kristen, you outwitted me again. All right. Well, good luck. Thanks for the call. We appreciate it. You know, they're all too smart for me. Kevin in Averill Park. Kevin, you're on.
Hi. We've found among some family treasures a box that contains a Superman 300-piece interlocking picture puzzle, I believe from around maybe 1940.
Cool.
Very cool.
It's based on the, I think it's the Superman and a submarine.
Okay.
Wow. That sounds like something of interest. I'm not a toy specialist, but somewhere on the box, I'd bet there'd be a copyright thing that would give you a better idea of when it was from.
It does say copyright MCMXL by
1940.
Superman Inc.
Yeah.
Wow.
Registered at Stationers Hall, I guess it says.
Okay. Wow. So you must have it right in front
of you. That sounds very cool.
I do. Toys from the 40s. I mean, depending on the shape of it, on the shape it's in, could be worth some dollars. Yeah. You need to talk to a toy expert though, or an antique expert.
It's amazing that it survived too.
Magazine person.
Yeah.
I'm sorry?
It's amazing that it survived because they had the paper drives of World War II, so everything got recycled.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it survived
That's
World
a nice
War II.
Piece.
I mean,
yeah.
You know what I would do, Kevin, and I do this anytime I find something that I think might have value, and they never do, I always go to eBay and see if somebody else is selling one. And
then, that is an excellent suggestion.
And just hit completed listings, not what people are asking for. Just
right.
The actual
I think
price
if you,
that it's sold.
If you type in Superman Jigsaw, I bet you'll eventually see what you're looking
for. You'll find 8 million new ones first.
Yeah,
you'll
that's
have to
true.
Go back a ways.
You're right.
You might want to put Superman Jigsaw 1940.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Yeah. Kevin, thanks a lot for the call. This email came in, and I don't know what this means. This is from Carl. And Carl says, what is the effect of true believers and reprints on collectors and distributors? What does that mean?
Basically, what he's talking about is True Believers is a kind of a reprint brand from Marvel.
Yeah.
Marvel is reprinting a lot of their classic books, and they're basically called True Believers, and they just sell them for a buck.
And, why do they do that? Do they sell?
They do sell. Yeah. They do sell. I don't think they're going to have any effect on the back issue market because nearly everything they're reprinting has already been available. I mean, if you want to read X-Men number one, there's a trade paperback with that in it.
Yeah.
You don't have to worry. I mean, in fact, there is a facsimile edition of X-Men number one. It's going to be in the store tomorrow.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I mean, these reprints are not going to have an effect on the original back issues. And I'm starting to notice that the reprint books of like the 90s are starting to have some value now. It's like a reprint book from the 90s that was originally like $1.99. You can get like $10-$12 for it.
How about that?
You mean like an Iron Man number 55 that's been reprinted in the
90s? Yes, exactly.
Okay.
The number to call here is 800-348-2551 if you have a sports card or comic book question. And who has been waiting the longest? Now we go over to Jake in Woodstock. Jake.
Hey, hi. I got a question about comic books. I remember as a kid when I was growing up, my folks didn't really understand the value of comics. But my dad used to take me to the barber, and in the corner there was a whole stack of comics. I used to sit there reading comics, and I remember there was a style of comics besides like the ordinary Superman type thing. There was like Strange Tales or something.
Yeah.
And in there was a great story about this guy who lived in the 50s. He was an ordinary guy, but he knew about this beam, this special beam that he would, if he was in the right place, he would get hit by this beam. And sometimes he had like walk off of a cliff or something just to be in the right place.
I know who
beam.
You're talking
his
about.
Beam would transport him into this future zone where he had this relationship with this royal family that was this princess and it was all space age.
All right.
What was that?
So it's not reality based.
Yeah, it's fantasy.
What he's talking about is Adam Strange. a DC character.
Adam Strange?
Adam Strange. He would step into the Zeta Beam and be transported to the planet of Ran, spelled R-A-N-N.
Wow.
And he,
do you have any of those in your shop?
He actually never had his own book. He was published in something called Strange Adventures.
Ah.
That's it.
Do you have Strange Adventures?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, well, I'll be darned.
There you go. And there have been reprint things. There have been a couple of tries to modernize him.
Yeah.
In the 90s, there was a Adam Strange a miniseries, and he occasionally will pop up. The current DC continuity, I think he might have been written out, but you know, the word is that DC might be reorganizing their universe again, and they could write him back in.
All right, Adam Strange. Hey, Jake, thanks for the call. Our number is 800-348-2551. Got to say, Bill, that's pretty good recall there. That was not bad.
Yeah, not
pretty
bad
impressive.
At all.
Let's go to Rick in Del Mar. Rick, you're on.
Hi, enjoying the show.
Thank you.
I got a quick question. Are old Sports Illustrated magazines worth anything?
It depends what year they're from.
Do they have Evel Knievel on the cover?
Do they have Mickey Mantle
on
the cover?
Of them.
Yeah.
It's hard to say. I got probably 10 to 20 years worth. Some of the Sportsmen's of the Year, the iconic certain issues, but... I just wondered, I'm actually in the middle of cleaning out my garage and enjoying your show on the radio. And I said, what am I going to do with all these old Sports Illustrated? No. I hate to throw them away because they're very interesting from 10 or 15 years ago, but I don't know if they have much value.
The older issues have a little value to them. You know, obviously, the first issue has got a decent amount of value to it. But the 80s and the 90s issues, they have to have, like, Michael Jordan. They have to have something significant on them to be worth, like, you know, between $5 and $10, $15. But that's the most you're going to get.
Back in the day, though, you get them every week, and it was Ali was on the cover, and there were always so many great things in the 70s.
The older stuff is more desirable, though.
Yeah, and you could sell them as a lot to people, like offer them on an eBay or something like that?
Yes, you can do that.
Shipping would cost a bit, though, I'll tell you
that. Yeah, make sure you charge them shipping.
Yeah, okay. Well, love your show. I always love the different Vox Pops, and you guys are very good today. Thank you.
Thanks a lot, Rick. We appreciate it. Our number is 800-348-2551. Comic books and cards today, and Philip in Remsen. Philip, you're on.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
So I'm working on becoming a social studies teacher, and I'm also an avid comic book fan, so this question is going to seem like a pretty good curveball.
Terrific.
But
okay.
I was just like wondering what comic books would be good to use with kids for social studies lessons. Like my certification area is 7 through 12. So I know books like Mouse are good to use. I know there's March, it's a civil rights book that would be good to use. I was just looking for other ones that would be useful.
That is a really good question. Well, another one that comes to mind is Gem of Hiroshima, which was a manga series, which basically was about a little boy who was at ground zero when the bomb was dropped on Hiroshima.
Mm. Or built treasure chests, those old treasure chests. They talk about history all the
time. Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, those would probably be kind of hard to find. I mean, there used to be a series called Classics Illustrated.
Yeah,
that's good, too.
Which basically had...
You're right.
All of the great works of fiction told in comic book form.
Right.
What's
your area of specificity in social studies, Philip?
Oh, that's quite a range actually for me. But in particular, I like to focus on a lot of stuff from like World War II on through like the Cold War.
Mm.
Yeah, it's like a few years ago, Marvel did a Life of Pope John Paul comic.
Oh, yeah, yeah, 1980-something.
Yeah,
really?
Maybe. Oh, yeah.
That's a good
question. I'm
trying
to think about things that would be readily available now.
Yeah. Hmm. Well, I'm afraid, Philip, this would take up the rest of the show, but that's a great question, and you know, maybe email the guys, maybe email Bill over at Electric City one of these days, and you guys could bang your heads together on that one. Let's see. Do we have time? Oh, we have time for a few more calls. Over to Rick in Goshen. Rick.
How you doing, Ray? Is it really you?
That's really me, man. How are you?
I missed you, man. Hey, guys, I got a question for you. I got a Babe Ruth... The Called Shot, Legends of Baseball Signature Series mug. okay, from the Bradford Museum. It's an early making of, it's number A0149, so it was early, you know, an early casting. And I was wondering if it's got any kind of value. It's got a pewter flip lid and gets in pretty decent. I won't say excellent. It's not chipped anywhere. It's just a little dirty, but I don't want to clean it.
Cool.
And I wonder what you guys would think.
It's probably like a $20, $25 item.
That sounds cool, though.
It's cool, but it's, you know, it's...
Look good on the mantle.
Yeah, exactly.
About how old
is it? It's up in my china closet.
Yeah, that's probably a good spot.
Yeah, it is. It's a cool piece.
Yeah,
nice conversation
piece. Yeah, I keep moving around. It belonged to the father-in-law years ago, but he passed, and that's one of the things that got left for me. So,
well, next time the Yankees are in the World Series, you got to drink something out of it,
yeah,
right?
There you go.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm afraid to clean it, though. I don't want to disturb the value.
I don't think the Babe would even care if you cleaned it,
yeah.
You know? He would drink out of a dirty cup.
Then. Exactly.
Hey, Rick, we got to move it here. Thank you for the call. Debbie in Hampton, Mass. Debbie, you're on.
Hi. I have a autographed Frank Robinson manager's card from the Orioles.
Oh, that's a very nice card.
Is it worth anything?
Yeah, it's probably be worth between $25 to $50. Frank Robinson, one of the greatest players and very undervalued.
Indeed. But it's a manager card.
Yeah, I know.
Does it matter?
Okay, thank you very much.
All right, thanks a lot, and we appreciate that call. One more at least here. Let's go over to Guy in Windsor, Mass. You're on.
Good afternoon. I have a couple of Gold Key comics.
Okay.
One Secret Agent. It's 12 cents, 1967. It's Secret Agent, Tyrant's Daughter forces John Drake to run an errand into the Caribbean death trap. And the other... is a Walt Disney comic series, 15 cents. It says 1970 on the front cover.
Yeah, both of those books would be around the 1970 era. Depending on the shape they're in, they're worth like $5, $6.
Huh.
They don't sound like they're anything special. The Secret Agent one, if it has a photo cover, might be worth a little
more. A lot of those Gold Keys, like, you know, the Munsters and Lance Link's Secret Chimp, they had all these Gold Keys that had pictures on them.
They did.
I remember it
Bewitched.
Well. Sure.
Well, once, I mean, Dell Publishing turned into Gold Key, and generally once they turned into Gold Key, things kind of went downhill for them. Dell, on the other hand, they were practically the biggest comic publisher in the 50s.
All right, this very quick email, and then we'll have to move it here. I only have about 45 seconds. Nate writes, I have a baseball card collection with 100,000 cards, I'm sorry. Searching for a way to make it easy to document and inventory. Ideally, he'd love to scan the cards and have the software recognize the card and add it to a database. You ever heard of anything like that?
No.
That's a brilliant idea.
It's a great
Nate.
Idea.
You shouldn't have even written it to me. You should... patent that idea.
Yeah, patent it now.
That's a really good idea. You know, you put the card in, you scan it, it tells you, you know, like they have Shazam, you play a song and the Shazam tells you what queries a database and then you know what you got.
Yep.
All right, so how do people find Al's House of Sports Cards?
I'm on 1632 Union Street in Schenectady, New York.
Are you online?
Yes, you can do Facebook and... you can reach me through that.
Okay, and how about Bill Electric City Comics?
Well, we're in Schenectady, 1704 Van Vranken Avenue. We're on Facebook, too. You can contact us via our Facebook page. And we also have our own website, electriccitycomics.com.
Well, great job. This was your third attempt, and you both did very well. We'll go for a number four not too long from now.
We're psyched.
Support comes from Nine Pin Cider Works, Albany, featuring hard cider made from local apples, now serving pizza, light fare, beer, wine, and spirits in the tasting room. Open Tuesday through Sunday, ninepincider.com. Adirondack Experience, the museum on Blue Mountain Lake, exploring people's connection to the Adirondacks through indoor and outdoor exhibits, activities, and events, adkx.org for details. Studio KTM Organic Hair Salon, featuring individual attention in a private environment with cutter and colorist Kristen Marquette using Natulique Organic Products, studiokTM.com. And the Arkell Museum at Canajoharie presenting Marketing the Mohawk Valley, celebrating the scenery of the Mohawk Valley, including portraits by Cushman Parker. More at arkellmuseum.org. Thanks again to Bill and Al for being here. Thank you for listening. Thanks to our engineer, Zach Malloy. Amber Sickles for answering the phones. Our producer is Jim Lavoulis. I'm Ray Graff. Well, let's see. We did gastroenterology yesterday, sports cards and comics today. Let's spin the wheel. Oh, tomorrow it's physical therapy. Who knew? Stand by for the book show.